Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Last month, Facebook removed pseudoscience from its detailed marketing list, an option for advertisers that wanted to post something targeting people who seemed to be interested in theories or methods wrongly attributed to real science. Science denial and misinformation are widespread today, with very real consequences for public health and the environment. So with that in mind, we turn to our next guest, astrophysicist and best-selling author Mario Livio, who has written a new book called Galileo and the Science Deniers. The Italian Renaissance scientist made spectacular discoveries that transformed notions about the universe and laid the foundation for modern science. But because his findings contradicted conventional wisdom and the teachings of the Catholic Church at the time, he was put on trial, charged with heresy, and forced to renounce his findings. Galileo and the Science Deniers is out now, and I'm happy it has brought Mario Livio to our show. Mario, welcome to All of It.
Thank you very much.
So why do you think Galileo has become, as you wrote in your book, larger than life heroes in our intellectual history?
Well, there are many reasons, but let me just give a few. So first of all, he, of course, made incredible discoveries, so that's one thing. But he has also become, you know, the symbol of free intellect, the fight for intellectual freedom. Mm-hmm. He really... Almost, in his personality and in his history, is really symbolizes that. And this is something that we all like and we all want to defend. And so this is the main reason. Another reason is that he is one of the founders of modern science as we know it, which means that you need to do experiments, observations, and then use reasoning based on data you get from that. And those are the only ways to obtain facts about the universe.
You write in your book that his science and the time he lived in resonate today. You wrote, there is a striking similarity between some of the religious, social, economic, and cultural problems that a person in the 17th century had to struggle with and those we encounter in the 21st century. What similarities do you see between the people living then who denied Galileo's scientific findings and the people today who choose to ignore evidence and data?
Yeah, you know, at Galileo's time, I mean, there were even people who refused to look through his telescope. Not only that, they did not accept his findings. And there is a great similarity between that and those who currently deny climate change. I'm not even talking, you know, about whether you believe that humans are responsible or not. I mean, there are people still who deny even the existence of climate change. So that is, of course, very, very strong. In the current pandemic, we see another example. I mean, in the initial treatment of the pandemic, you know, statements like, we have now 15 cases, which will soon be down to zero, you know, basically ignoring the threats, are very, very similar to what people were saying at Galileo's time.
What is attractive about pseudoscience and anti-science movement in recent years? Why do you think the popularity is as high as it is?
I cannot, you know, be sure that I know all the reasons for that, but people always, you know, like to think in terms of numerology and other things, numbers, horoscopes, various types of things like that, conspiracy theories, and this was always the case. And, you know, maybe it's a lack of education, maybe it's some shortcoming of the education system, that people are not taught exactly what I just said, namely, what are the real methods by which you discover truths? So that is the only thing I can think about. But, you know, it always existed and unfortunately may always exist.
My guest is Mario Livio. The name of his new book is Galileo and the Science Deniers. Now, part of this book is biography, and obviously there have been a lot of biographies of Galileo. What did you want to accomplish this with this one?
Yeah, so, you know, there are many biographies. Most of them, or if not all, were written by science historians. I am an active research astrophysicist, mm-hmm. and, you know, I thought that I can bring something new to the table here, in particular to put his discoveries in the context of science today. So that was one thing. The second thing is that most of the existing biographies are extraordinarily detailed. And most people, you know, cannot read all those details and are not that interested in them. So I wanted to make something that is accurate, but yet short enough that people can actually read. And finally, there was this analogy between science denial then and science denial now, which made this book, you know, more relevant than ever.
I want to follow up on that idea of putting Galileo's discoveries in the context of our modern scientific knowledge. What do you mean by that? Why is that important?
It's important because, you see, Galileo wasn't always right. He was sometimes wrong. For example, he was completely wrong in his theory of ocean tides. He was completely wrong in his theory of comets. So the point is that science is not always right. Science actually is always provisional. It's only as good as the data that exist at the given time. But science also has this ability to self-correct. Sometimes the self-correction happens, you know, within a year, within a few years, but sometimes it may take decades or even centuries to correct. But it always does that. This is the way science works. And so I wanted to make it very clear that this is what we see in Galileo's work as well, and when we compare it to what we know today. We know exactly where he was wrong. We know exactly where he was right.
This may be a silly question, but could you share something that has an impact on our everyday lives right now, which you can draw a straight line back to Galileo?
Well, science denial is definitely one. You know, I can definitely draw a straight line from science denial at his time to our time. I mean, the difference is perhaps the motivation. Most science denial at his time happened because people relied on literal interpretations of scripture. This is normally not the case today, even though there are some such people even today who rely on literal interpretations of scripture. But today, mostly it's political conservatism or various so-called economical reasons and so on. But the denial is nevertheless there, and it's affecting our life. I mean, in the case of climate change or COVID-19, it's affecting the future of life on Earth.
Let me ask you a little bit about Galileo, how he grew up and how it helps shape who he was as a scientist. He was born in Pisa in 1564, and his parents actually hoped that he would become a doctor. I learned this from your book, but that didn't work out. What did he do instead, and why did he do it?
So, his father, who was actually a musician, sent him to medical school. Medical school at that time was taught on the basis of Galen, you know, this ancient Greece doctor, and so it was full of rules and, you know, do like this, do like that. And Galileo was very rebellious, you know, and this was not in his nature to obey just rules like this without thinking. And he happened to hear some lectures in mathematics by Ostilio Ricci, who was a famous mathematician, and he really got bewitched by mathematics. And then he started studying mathematics, and from that, you know, that led on to him becoming one of the greatest scientists ever.
You said that he was rebellious. What was the environment like around him or his upbringing that led him to be someone who would be rebellious, who would strike out on his own and buck convention?
Yeah, I think he got that from his father, actually. His father was a musician and a music theorist, and his father himself was very rebellious. I mean, at the time, you know, there was this belief that all the sounds that we like, they have to be in ratios of exact numbers, you know, 2 to 1, 3 to 4, and so on. And his father claimed that that's not the case, and he did a whole series of experiments trying to prove that that's not the case. Galileo, as a young boy, must have seen some of that and participate in some of those experiments. he understood this, and I think he inherited this lack of respect for authority from his father.
And how did that play out in his scientific life?
So, you know, that's where he started thinking in terms of experiments and things. I remind you, see, for example, he wanted to study free fall, okay? Well, Aristotle wrote a lot about free fall. But Aristotle, Plato, and the people in ancient Greece, they thought that the way to understand phenomena is simply to sit down and think about them, not do any experiments. Aristotle famously, you know, thought that women have different numbers of teeth than men. And Aristotle was married, and it never occurred to him to actually count the teeth. Galileo, on the other hand, you know, started thinking in terms of experiment. At the beginning, as thought experiments, but later, you know, doing actual experiments, and he invented ingenious ways to do those experiments, and that's how he really shaped the beginnings of modern physics.
My guest is Mario Livio. We're talking about his new book, Galileo and the Science Deniers. This was, I found, really interesting, that Galileo had a great talent for communicating his science and his discoveries. How so?
Yes, Galileo was really great at that. His outreach program was second to none. You see, for example, all the scientists of the time used to write in Latin, but Latin only some, you know, elite spoke. So he insisted from a certain point on to write all his discoveries in Italian so that people will be able to read them. When he started making discoveries with the telescope, he came to the Tuscan court and told them, oh, I want to send telescopes to all the influential people all across Europe for them to see with their own eyes what I'm discovering. And the Tuscan court actually agreed to fund that. And he sent telescopes and his little book and instructions on how to use the telescope. So he was extremely good in this outreach program.
So how did he start to attract the ire of the Catholic Church through his research and his writing?
Yeah, well, you know, he became a Copernican. Namely, he thought that the Earth is just another planet like all other planets, and they all revolve around the sun. Well, at the time, the idea was that there is a geocentric model, namely that the Earth is at the center and everything, including the sun, revolves around the Earth. So at the beginning, you know, okay, he was talking about this, but people didn't pay too much attention. But eventually he wrote a book, The Dialogue on the Two Chief World Systems, in which three people discuss these two systems, the heliocentric and the geocentric. And the book made it very, very clear what Galileo's own idea was, and basically made fun of those thinking in terms of the Earth being at the center. And that's, you know, in doing that, he actually disobeyed an injunction that was put on him some 17 years earlier not to defend Copernicanism in this way. And that's, from there, things just went from bad to worse.
I want to bring this all back to today as we wrap up. In a piece for Salon, you wrote, "What would no doubt terrify Galileo the most is the reality where we find ourselves today in a world where we are witnessing the death of facts." You've mentioned climate change and you've mentioned COVID-19, obviously. When you think about a way to go forward with the pandemic, when you think about what you've witnessed, when you think about Dr. Fauci and his role, when you think about the White House possibly disbanding the task force, what do you think, and this is just a completely your opinion, a smart scientist, what do you think is the best course of action going forward, the summer and beyond? What would be the best course of action for our leaders and for our scientific community?
Look, the best course of action is believe in science and follow the science. I think that it is way premature to disband the task force that includes these scientists. Yes, you know, we must at some point return to normal life or some form of normal life, and in terms of the economics, for sure. But at the moment, people are dying. Lots of people are dying. Numbers are declining right now in New York, but they're going up in other places in the country. We have already reached, at the beginning of May, numbers that were thought we would reach only in August of deaths. So we have to follow the science. I mean, this is not the time to stop the scientists from telling us what is happening and what we should be doing. As I said, it's not that science is always right, but in this particular case, these are experienced people, you know, who've dealt with epidemiology, and they know what to do. So I see no other way. I like to say that it is never a good idea to bet against science, but when life and death are at stake, it is really absolutely incredible to do that. So, you know, that's my only advice.
The name of the book is Galileo and the Science Deniers. It is by astrophysicist and author Mario Livio. Mario, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you for having me.